I need four strong volunteers. Okay, here comes Josh. Definitely strong.
Strong of heart, strong of spirit.
All right, Jake, good, good.
Deanna,
good, good. This should be interesting. One
see
more.
How we do. Only three.
All right, there we go. All right, you guys are my good friends.
Oh, this is, I thought we were doing something. This is part of church.
Oh,
okay, where are we going?
I can't move.
The back of the van.
I can't move. I need you guys to bring me over to that bench back there.
Oh. Deanna, throw them over your shoulder.
You do it.
Come on. Oh, you guys, thanks. Ah! Ah! Ah, nice.
Clear a path.
Where's the crowd? Is there a crowd of people? Okay.
You go first.
All right, good. Good, hi, hi.
Dad, then we'll come back.
Okay, so these guys are taking me to the bench because that's the only place I have hope. No donuts for me. All right. Nice. Good job, guys. Oh, thank you. Okay. Don't get ahead of me. All right, so thankfully I had these friends who were ready to help me. What do you think of that, Liam? They carried me all the way over there. Kind of weird, huh? That's bizarre. You ever been... Oh, thank you. If I need you again, like, to carry me home, that'll be good. Have you ever been stretched so thin... You've been stretched so thin at work, at home, emotionally, spiritually, everything about you, and you just thought, I just can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at this story. We've been checking out the miracles of Jesus all summer long and seeing what his character has been like in each of them. So that was a little object lesson that we're going to look at this situation today that we're going to read from the Bible. We as a church like to go to the Jesus of the Bible, okay? And that Jesus of the Bible is oftentimes very, very different than the Jesus you see on Fox News, you see on CNN, you see among Christians, among others. So we go to Scripture to look at that Jesus, okay? And so this story... It comes from Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark 2, 1 through 12. Picture this. Jesus is in a packed house. He's at the point now that when he speaks, people follow him around. They hear that he's coming, and then they pack out the house of wherever he's going to be teaching. And they crowd in. They crowd in. So they're packed in this house, and it's so much so that it's spilling out of the front door. It's at the windows. There's the crowd there, and they all want to hear what Jesus has to say. And the way it usually worked in Hebrew tradition is when a rabbi or a teacher was teaching in a house, he would kind of sit, and then others would sit out in front of him, almost in a circle and around, and everybody listening. So that's the scene of what we've got. But there's this paralyzed man who can't get to Jesus. He can't get to him. His legs don't work. There's just no way he's going to get there. And this story says that his friends refused to give up. They don't just hope for a miracle. They're not just looking at him and going, oh, thoughts and prayers, right? That's what so many people do now. Oh, thoughts and prayers. But they are people who are of action. They're like thoughts and prayers and action. thoughts and prayers and action. And if you want to look at James 2, verses 14 to 17. In that James 2, 14 through 17, it says that, great, I love it that you say to people who's hungry and everything, go, be well, be of good cheer, go. And it says, when it goes on, it says, what good is it? What good is it? It goes on, and James says, faith without works is dead. If it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. They're just words. So in Mark 2, verses 1 through 12, it says this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room. Even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them, three men, Indiana, arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So here, picture this. They're like, Jesus is teaching at this place. We know he's been going around and healing people. And we know this is what he's been doing. And we need to get you to him. We need to get you to him and he will heal you. And so they show up and they find out, sorry, sold out. No room. No room, guys. You can't even get in. And then they pause and they look. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole in the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Wait a minute. You're looking, and presentism takes our houses and puts them back to that time. Presentism is when we take our values and situations of today, and we apply them to the past as though that is what should have happened. But it didn't, okay? So you and I are looking at our roofs, our shingles. And I don't care, Josh and, Seth, you guys can show up, and unless Deanna brings, you know, a Sawzall, you are not getting through my roof. You're just not. Some of you ask, well, what the heck did he have? Would they all have a ladder, too? There's a lot of things you're not saying in this story. Well, we have to understand the context of that time. The houses made of stone, kind of like cinder block type material, mud bricks that have been made. And they have stairs or a ladder. This house most likely had stairs, because Jesus was teaching at this house and there was more room for people. So it had stairs to bring him up to the roof. Now you're like, that's weird. Why would you go to the roof? Well, you guys, they didn't have air conditioning. Okay? Didn't have air conditioning. So people would go up onto their roof and sit for the coolness of the evening. They would also go up onto their roof where they would dry fish, where they would dry out reeds and things that they were baking. And so the roof was part of their daily living. Now you look and go, well, still, how are they cutting a hole in this roof? Well, the way the roofs of that day were built, there were beams across, and then they would either lie something that was like tile-like across them, or they would do that and lay reeds across them and then coat those with mud and try to get them to be getting rid of as much rain as possible. So it was messy, but it wasn't something that needed a Sawzall, okay? It wasn't like our roofs. The actual word that's used in this verse where they dug a hole in the roof, yeah, it translates better to they unroofed it. They unroofed it. So you picture yourself laying down those reeds, covering it with mud, stuff. These guys are able to bend over, hands break through, whether it was tile, lift it up, whether it was mud, take that, and just start moving those reeds to the side. Okay, now we continue reading. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Here they are. They've lowered him right in front of Jesus. He's right in front of Jesus. Imagine what the crowd is feeling like. Hey, I paid for VIP seats. What is the deal here? They didn't pay for VIP seats, but they were there first, and here's somebody who's getting access directly. My child, your sins are forgiven. This made people, the religious leaders, freak out. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier for me to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I'm going to prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Stand up, pick up your mat, go home. And the man, it says, jumped up. Now, I don't know if you guys were watching the spectacle of when I got laid on the ground over there. I did not jump up. My jumping up days are over. Okay? I am at the age where we all make noise when we move. I don't know what age that started. I don't remember. Did I turn 41 and start sitting up and going, ugh? But I'm at that stage, so I didn't jump up. But this guy jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. Yo, peace. Good to see you. Take care. I'm out of here. I'm like, he didn't even stay for the rest of the sermon. I'm like, how cool is that? But Jesus told him to go home. He didn't say sit down and listen. He said, pick up your mat, walk, go home. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. So here's the thing I want us to consider this morning. Do you have friends that are determined to get you to Jesus? Do you have friends that are determined to point you to Jesus? When things are stretched so thin and you're thinking, I'm at the end of my rope, Do you have those friends? The part two of that is, do you have friends that you need to carry to Jesus? I mean beyond thoughts and prayers. To carry to Jesus. To put that effort in. You know, God designed us for community. In Genesis, we hear a creation story where God goes through and he makes everything. And as he makes them, after he makes them, he says, this is good. This is good. You know, he made the day and the night, and he said, ah, that's good. He made the animals, he said, oh, that's good. He made all of the stuff. But then after he made man, he said for the first time, this is not good. He said it's not good for the man to be alone. We need to make someone to come alongside him, not as a subservient, not as someone under his thumb. I know we get confused with that, and many times it's been preached, especially to our women, you are a helper. And we look as a helper as that person who, you know, stacks chairs. The helper is, Kim's a helper. She's babysitting a ferret. You know, for a friend. We look at that helper as someone who comes next to and it's like, I'll help you, but doesn't play a key role, a primary role. But that is not at all the language of that passage. It's more of a fulfillment, a somebody that will play the roles of where you are weak, they are strong. Okay? It's going to be complementary. It's going to be a relationship where you are together in this. So God created us for community. And you know what it says in the New Testament? He describes us as a body. He says that you, each of you, is a part of the body. Now, I look at that and I said, why didn't he use that illustration? Why didn't he say, you are like a school of fish? Have you ever seen a school of fish? They're like all over the place, darting like this. He said, you are a body, and so you are like an eye. Somebody else is like a hand. Somebody else is like a foot. Now, in my mind, I immediately go to the video of, or in my imagination, of all of a sudden, parts of the body are not connected. So it's like, it's kind of like you're watching Wednesday, you know, the new season, and you got thing, like this hand just kind of does what he wants. It amazes me when Thing beats up people, flying at them. I'm like, that's just a hand. You can't do that. Where's the rest of the weight behind? You see, as a body, when we look and we see people that have a muscular disease and they can't control the actions of their muscles, we look and say, that is a disease, it's a condition. We need to come alongside and help them. But at the same time, we have a picture of a healthy body, and the things are working together. And the scripture says, and even the parts that you don't see are worth more honor. You know, when I had my liver transplant, before that I didn't even really know I had a liver. You know, I paid a little bit of attention in school, biology, just enough to get by. But I hadn't really understood what a liver does. And then when I had my transplant, when it stopped working, I was like, ooh, I really need that part of my body to be working. It wasn't going to work anymore, so they put a new one in, thankfully. That was pretty cool for my son. So I look at this, and I see three things that I see about friends and I see about Jesus. Number one is that friends carry friends when life feels impossible. Your faith friends carry you when life feels impossible. You got these two, besties.
Hi, bestie.
Hi, bestie.
Hi, bestie.
People who will carry each other. The paralyzed man couldn't get to Jesus, so his friends became his legs. They became his legs. I see scripture that says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. Because if one falls down and has no one to pick him up, pity that man. But blessed is the man who has a friend to pick him up. See, you think of that, I think of that viral video, and there's been several of them now, where somebody's running a marathon, you know, they're running that marathon, and that runner gets just about to the end and falls, right, and just has nothing at all left. Am I the only one who's seen this viral video? You guys have seen it, right? And somebody comes behind, picks that person up, puts them over their arm and said, no, you're going to finish. I'm going to carry you. You're going to finish. When I was so sick and depressed waiting for transplant, I tell people that my friends, my faith friends, they were my faith when I really didn't have much left. When I didn't have any hope really left, they were my hope. They were my hope. So sometimes we'll be the one on the stretcher, and sometimes we'll be helping carry that stretcher. So I look at it like this. A church community is supposed to be like the gym for the body. It's supposed to be like the gym. Now, all you guys, I look, and a lot of you have been working out. I see it. You know, I'm lying. But if we were going to the gym, you know, we you could tell, right? You could tell. And we're working out and being at that place, and I love that commitment. I love the ability to do that. Sometimes I wish I had that ability. I've told you the story about the gym I belonged to that charged $180 a visit. Man, that was crazy. You would think I would have been better. But the problem was it was $360 a year, but I only went twice. That's why it was so expensive. But church is a gym for the body. It's a gym made up of, should be a gym made up of people who genuinely care about one another, who encourage when life gets overwhelming, people who have shared values and some perspectives and goals that keep you moving in the right direction. It should be a place where it's you find someone to celebrate with those achievements, whether big or small. And so here at our fellowship, we have some small groups that are, I push them for just that reason, because we're stronger together. The second thing I see in this passage of scripture is friends push past obstacles. They push past them. You know, that group of friends could have been carrying me and gone, oh, Mickey's in the way. Oh, the Whitings are there. Uh-oh, Wendy, Dana, we can't get through. We can't. And they could have been like, forget it, Scott. And just dump me. It would have been like too much trouble. But they pushed through obstacles to say, we're going to get you there. I know you're disappointed now. I know you're discouraged now. I know you're depressed now. But we're going to get you there. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on you. You know what it says in Proverbs? It says this in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. But then it calls Jesus a friend closer than a brother. And then it also says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. Okay? When I was a teenager, my group of friends were as sharp as marshmallows. We did not sharpen each other. In fact, Ella's going, marshmallows are not sharp. That is correct. Ella, my friends were as sharp as marbles. Marbles are not sharp. I mean, look at that. That's the way my friends were. They would dull me. In fact, we would actively persecute each other for getting good grades. I mean, good job for you, Mr. Student. Doesn't she just love you? And I look and I go, that was not, I said, these are my friends. But we were not sharpening each other. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, one of us sharpens another. We help each other run that race. We help each other continue. We help each other draw closer to Jesus. When we lose our hope, that friend reminds us of our hope. It becomes our hope for us. See, and friends encourage you to be sharp. So you need people who don't give up on you. And you need to be the kind of person who doesn't give up on each other. That's what we need to be. What are the benefits of finding faith friends? I think they're this. They're people who stick with you through challenges. It's a safe space. Hopefully we are a safe space for people to say, you know, I'm in recovery, but today is day one. And we say, okay, we start again. We start again. It's a safe place for us to say to one another, hey, our marriage, we're fighting each other like two different colonies of ants. I don't know. We're having some struggles right now. And we have friends who say, you know what? Yeah, we've been through that. Hang in there. Hang in there. You can get there. We have friends that encourage us and sharpen us. It's where we can get some wise counsel, shared values. So our groups and our events are the places that you find those people. How do you make those friends? Time. Hey, none of the people who are your friends right now, this is deep, you should write this down. None of your friends were your friends before they were your friends. Wow. Deep, huh?
Yeah.
It's like a Jack Handy expression. You know, it's like none of your friends were your friends before they were your friends. Well, how did they become friends? Time spent. Time spent together is how we develop our friendships. So coming in and saying, I'm going to connect and start putting that as a priority. I think that's why God gives us Hebrews 10:25. It says, let's not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that things are getting tougher. It says, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. But what that means is, as things get tougher, we need each other more. Like a fire, you know how hot those coals are? We had in our life group, we went out this week and broke the law, and we cooked marshmallows over it was a contained fire, so we were okay, had a hose nearby, but we were cooking marshmallows together, and I see what we're doing together as friends and go, these are my people, this is my group, they're together. I forget where I was going with that, but it was really good. I once was speaking, and I said, the problem is that my adult AD gets in the way, and I just kept talking, and after my son-in-law said, you have ADD so bad that you didn't even finish saying ADD. Oh, yeah. I took an ADHD quiz on Facebook the other day, and I didn't finish it. It got too long. I was like, I can't do it. So, and the third point, because it's so easy to stop going to the gym. The third point, the friend's faith can move Jesus to action. I'm not saying that it's a magical thing, but remember, we've seen Jesus, and the Bible says that he's had compassion, and he's felt it in his guts. When he sees that friends, praying for friends, supporting friends, being part of the body, it moves him. It moves him. So this fall, we're starting up a bunch of our small groups again. And this morning, I'd like to just kind of introduce them to you quickly. I really want to encourage you to find a place to plug in. As you spend time with people, you begin to develop those relationships. The first group that we have that gathers, that meets on Sunday mornings. Sure, it's right here. We hang out, we eat burgers, we do stuff together, right? Mondays at 6:30 p.m., there'll be a Bible study doing the book of Isaiah this year. Chris and Victoria leading that. Is it awesome, Holly?
It's fantastic.
It's a great opportunity to dig in. Can other people join you?
Sure.
Yeah.
More the merrier.
It will be in the yellow corner room. We've got to number our rooms or name them. Because we have one room we call the blue room, one room we call the yellow room. We're like, people who come to our church must be like, what?
Don't forget the stabbing room.
The stabby room downstairs. Looks like Scary from a movie. In the old kitchen. In 1888. Thanks for helping my ADD. Then Tuesday at noon, we have an AA meeting. Great group to plug into. I don't care where you are in your recovery. Even if you're years out, why not pop in? Pop into a meeting, because you can encourage people who are starting their journey. And Tuesday evenings, we have this thing. Leslie, come here.
Ready? So, Jan Perry was supposed to be here this morning to do this, but in order to get out of it, she planned a family vacation at Moosehead. So I asked her to let me know what she wanted me to say. So, here, hold this in front of my face. Thank you. But she sent me some notes.
That's too many notes.
And not going to do it.
Attaboy. What are you doing Tuesday night?
Wait, I've got it.
Okay.
So anyway, I know you want to end. So just don't tell her I didn't use your notes. So it's Ladies Connection, so it's a bunch of ladies that connect. Good enough?
Atta girl.
It's been running like 50 years, but not with those of us all that are in it now. Tuesdays from 6 to about 7:30 or 8, depends on how much we're connecting and talking. It's loosely structured. Right now we're doing a Max Lucado, Books on the Bible. We're going to be starting Psalms. Tuesday night, the 9th. No penalties if you don't read the book or do your chapter. It's okay. We have enough people that'll keep talking, so you don't have to. Come when you can. In the winter, we Zoom because we're afraid of driving on the ice. We talk, we share, we pray, we laugh, we cry. Sometimes we even set aside the plan because one of us has something that they really need to talk about, and it takes the whole time. up until we then pray about it. We've become a subfamily of the church family. So, y'all come. Oh, we had a guy come once.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't you.
Nice job, Leslie.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's on Tuesday nights, 6 o'clock. Starts not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. Okay, so that's coming up. On Wednesday nights, I can tell you about this one. We have a group that meets at my house that I affectionately call Potluck Pals. Our Potluck Pals, we always eat together. We used to do a theme, but then we started fighting about what the theme was, and then Leslie punched me, I punched Leslie. No, we just are like, now the theme is bring food, and occasionally we'll have another theme. But we start 6:30, we end at 8, and our age range is 17 to 93. So if you're in that age range, you're welcome. If you're outside of that age range, you're welcome. All right? And then Thursday, we have this guy coming up.
Okay, so I'm probably going to get all of this wrong because there's some details in here. But Thursday nights, our life group, which is a range from Mary to, like, you know, older people than that. But we typically will do appetizers and desserts. Most of the time it's at my house in Gorham, but occasionally it's elsewhere. We're starting up the first Thursday in October, and it's usually around 6:30. Feel free to come at breakfast and stay all day.
No.
And some people bring their kids. So. Some people bring their kids.
Yeah. It's that's kind of a great family. A great family group. Good to plug into. That's why they're starting in October. Because right now, they're all in the season of everything is starting, right? Oh, after school dance is starting, then soccer is starting, and then this is starting. So they're all going through those things. So that's Thursdays. The first Saturday of the month, we do a men's breakfast. Either Seth and sometimes Biff cooks, and we get together. We've changed it. We're getting together at the church now so that everybody can come. That's coming up this Saturday. So we go 8 to 9 once a month. Come, try it out. So we want to be a place. Ah, Angel.
Can I come?
Yes.
I'm not a man.
You can cook. Oh! How sexist is that? I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I couldn't. No, you can't come. We'll throw you up.
I know.
We'll throw you up. All right. So the thing is, we want to be able to count on each other. Right? We want to be able to count on each other. And so Ella's going to come up and close us off with a song by Bruno Mars that I think most of you know, maybe. And so sing along with the parts you know. If you don't know the words, just listen close, and Ella will sing them. Oh, Lord, thanks for this day. Thanks for this body. I pray that each of us would find those friends that we would commit to joining in with each other and searching for those relationships. And, Lord, thanks for building those. Bless the food that we eat now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, guys.